Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
It's a tan penis.
It's a very tan penis.
So I believe Jeremy was talking to Mr. December, and Mr. December responds, did he announce his own engagement? At this rate, he'll be engaged by Memorial Day.
Ryan. What? What kind of a dick move is that to, like, try to rein on Spencer's engagement by announcing my own?
My exes, after it ends, I see them on Facebook, and they're always dating guys that look like me. I don't understand.
The Yasmin doesn't wash off that easily.
No matter how hard they scrub.
Jeremy from Orlando says, what does Brian do for a living? Collect sci-fi action figures?
I want a dedicated episode for me to take on all my detractors.
Next headline is causing a lot of controversy in Hollywood. So I thought it'd be a good idea to have a special guest call in. Eric Katz, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the thing you need to understand about Zach Braff. He is a major, major fucking douchebag.
Going to get a plus one to Spencer's wedding.
And, of course, Spencer Yasmin.
Well, not all 50 states recognize gay marriage, so why should I?
Oh, no!
Oh, Spencer. The question is, well, what states will recognize your marriage?
Well said.
So, thank you for joining us again for this episode. We just launched the mini-episode. We hope you enjoyed it.
Very exciting.
We're excited to have a newer listener on later this episode, Sumi. She'll be joining us for the first time. Some may recognize her as Jeremy's wedding night entertainment.
I'm sure that's how she likes to be recognized, Brian.
Well, until we actually get her on and can talk with her more.
How many guys have called you that after an event?
Good point.
I am.
Oh, who was that guy you were with? Oh, that was the guy.
Wedding entertainment.
Brian.
I called him the IT guy.
Some IT guy. Brian.
The wedding entertainment. Anyway. Not just the girl that Jeremy banged at the wedding. It's.
Hey, did you see Carl leave with that guy at the glasses?
Oh, the IT guy.
First of all, I would never sleep with somebody.
I heard he swallows. Oh yeah, I second that. I third that.
So, Spencer, is there any new wedding information that we should be made aware of?
Not yet. Only the Yasmins are coming to town soon to look at rehearsal places. And, you know, I keep telling them we're not going to be able to find a venue that's going to seat 250 people for the rehearsal. Mm-hmm. That's right, 250 people for the rehearsal. But we found venues that are big enough, but not everyone can have a seat. And they keep going, okay. I know when they get out here, they're going to say, we're not going to that venue because they can't see 250
people. Now, Spencer,
people.
Will there be food served? Interesting. You said people are going to be standing during this.
Some people. I mean, they're the young people such as myself and you guys, sorry, are going to have to possibly stand by a bar stand.
I'm really just impressed that given Jeremy from Orlando or Jorlando's barbs of me about my age, that you actually have grouped me in with the younger group. So I'm actually somewhat touched by that, Spencer.
Well, you haven't shown any physical disabilities yet.
That is true.
Technically, you are part of an older class, but basically, I'm really just classifying as people that are going to be coming in on wheelchairs versus those that can stand.
Well, I do have a year to get there, and I'm, you know, fingers crossed. But if as far as physical disabilities go, you should see my glasses sometime.
But Spencer, is there going to be room for a wheelchair if Brian does get to that point in his life? I mean, you got 250 people in a room. You're not going to be able to squeeze in a wheelchair.
I mean, I think we got maybe like 15 to 20 wheelchairs of people coming in. With, you know, and then you got some people coming in with canes. So really, the question becomes, if Brian gets ass-pounded the night before he comes out here and he needs a wheelchair, it might push us over
Jesus
our limit.
Jesus Christ.
So. That's a pounding.
Ass-pounding? You really said that? At least I kept it classy with, you know, wedding night entertainment.
And Sumi appreciates that you recognize her in that such a manner.
I adore Sumi. She will absolutely know that when she is on. But she also knows that we like to banter a little bit about, you know, guys and stuff like that. We have a common bond when it comes to talking about men. So,
well, it's not absolutely... we have a common bond, Brian. It's the fact that all gay men have that bond. Because if Spencer and I were to make that joke, we'd be shunned by society. Sumi would not want to talk. If Spencer said what you just said, Sumi would want nothing to do with Spencer. But the fact that you can say that you're a gay male, it's all right. And Spencer, I feel like that's not fair.
Well, don't forget the fact that I'm far more charming than both of you combined.
Yeah, that's
Let's not forget
true.
Todd's theory about gay. Let's not forget Todd's theory about gay people, too.
What was that theory again?
And Jorlando, so. That they're all just pretending to be gay to get really close to girls and really stick it to the other straight men that are out there. So.
It's a move.
It's a really dumb move.
it's
so we would expect nothing less from Todd.
Do at some point. I could see Todd doing that move at some point if when he approaches age 40, if he hasn't settled down. So,
are we expecting Todd to be single at age 40?
I mean, you should ask Todd if he wants to be single. He might want to be single. Who knows? If
that and your parents wants have to be asked single. You about that, right, Spencer? You said last week. That your parents had mentioned.
Yeah, they were a little. My mom finally was like a little hesitant. She's like, I mean, you can be honest with me. Which do we know what team he plays for? I'm like, Mom, come on. Todd's a good guy. Come on.
I guess the question I have is, would being gay make him a bad guy?
And we're moving on.
It wouldn't make Todd a bad guy. If Spencer came out that he was gay,
it would answer so many questions. Finally, he's
honest. That would be great to watch that. Like, Todd coming out to your parents, and then you coming out to your parents. Like, the different reactions. Like, I feel like your parents would accept Todd coming out as gay, but if you came out as
My parents would, like, quickly... My parents would, like, pull up adoption agencies online and everything. They'd be like, we were waiting for this. We already got this little girl. Her name's Sumi Jr. We can adopt her for you. Perfect.
Oh, Lord. On that note, let's pass it over to Spencer for a little dirty talk. Spencer, take it away.
Sumi! Okay, let's do this.
First of all, still, like, I did that name. How you pronounce her name makes her sound like some, like, you know, geisha girl.
When she comes on, I will explain to her why I say her name the way I do. So anyway, let's move on to dirty talk. First up, boys... Have you heard about Sergio Garcia this past week, the golfer?
Are you talking about the horribly racist comment?
Well, let me get there, Brian.
Respect your
thoughts, please. So the Spaniard was on stage with the rest of his Ryder Cup teammates when he was lightheartedly asked by the evening host, American Steve Sands, if he would be inviting Woods, with whom Garcia has had a long-running feud, for dinner at next month's U.S. Open. Garcia replied, "We'll be having him around every night and serving him fried chicken."
That's horrible.
How do you guys feel about that? Horrible, Jeremy? What do you think, Brian?
I think that's an absolutely horrible joke to make. I mean, you...
That's great. Here's what I want to do. I want to do a little role play. I don't really care about your guys' thoughts on this. I want to do a little role play. Brian and Jeremy, you guys are nemesis in golf, okay? We're going to start off with Brian. Brian... I'm going to ask you about your nemesis, Jeremy. So what do you plan to do, Brian, with – and keep in mind, I want you to be creative. Really tackle what you would say to really get under his skin, whether racist or prejudiced, whatever you think. Brian, What do you plan on doing with your friend, your teammate Jeremy at the next the U.S. Open dinner? You gonna have him over for dinner?
I would, but I think first we'd stop by the Holocaust Museum. Or how about this? I would have said something like, "I'll have to, if I have him over, I'll need to make sure the grill's cleared out of all the ashes."
You know, Brian, you take a friendly game, you just ruin it. Okay, go, Jeremy.
Will you ask me the question again?
Sure. Hey, old pal. You old chap, Jeremy.
You old son of a bitch.
You know, that little bastard, Brian, that guy that beat you in this recent golf event? You know, apparently he took out a club while you were swinging. You think you'll have him over for dinner at next month's U.S. Open, old pal?
Yeah, you know, I think I will. I can watch him toss a salad all night.
Oh, boom. Jesus! One more for the straight guys! All right.
That is such a dumb joke.
That took me a good 2 minutes to think.
All right, moving on. All right, he did have an advantage there. Advantage Jeremy at the time. Okay, so moving on. Good old friend of the podcast, good old lad, Todd. Todd says, I don't understand why the Katzes are so pissed off about Zach Braff and Kickstarter. It's a free market. And then he tells me, you went easy on them. I'm disappointed. Well, Todd, I apologize. I thought I did my best job to defend Zach Braff. And after listening to that episode again, I kind of agree more with Todd. I mean, I think you guys were a little overboard with the Zach Braff hating on it.
Spencer, he makes so much money a year off of scrubs.
Yeah, Spencer, you're wrong.
I know. I still say it's if America's dumb enough to give him the money. Well, I mean, come on. There's better examples out there. You know, there's millionaire billionaires that don't pay their taxes. Brian, I think you know one, Mitt Romney, maybe that ran recently. So, I mean, is that any worse than what those people do? It's just a different form of generating money, is it not?
I mean, you're going off on a hugely different tangent here, but there is a difference between. What is it?
All right, moving on. Yeah, it was great.
Yes.
So
censor him.
So I talked to Dan recently, and I said to Dan, looking forward to Austin. Todd gets to meet Dan. Dan responds, Dan schools Todd. Todd gets laid. This is going to be one interesting exchange between those two. I cannot wait.
Yeah, for those that don't know, myself, Nick West, Spencer, and Dan are going to be going to Austin in 2 weeks. So I can't wait to watch Dan and Todd try to pick up women. It's going to be very, very exciting.
I feel like one's going to be coaching the other one, you know? They're going to be like, you're doing it all wrong!
Well, Todd's method is to ask girls what their favorite type of Girl Scout cookie is, while Dan Rosenbaum's is to pass out on them. So, you know, it's conflicting approaches, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Little do they know that they're both doing it wrong.
Speaking of Dan, Spencer, one time we were at a party, and this girl's all into Dan, and they were cuddling, and for our listeners that don't know, Dan Rosenbaum falls asleep a lot. He that's his weakness.
He's an archetype.
And they were getting close, and they're getting ready to go at it, and then all of a sudden I look over, and Dan is passed out on top of her.
Oh,
and she
boy.
Gives this look and says, like, kind of like, I would totally do him right now, but he's sleeping. So, Todd, that's your competition.
Did you swoop in?
Did I swoop in?
Yeah,
naturally. Come on.
Really? Here's the thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there's a lot of, like, overlap in the Venn diagrams of women who are attracted to Dan and women who are attracted to Jeremy. I mean, Dan's...
There are guys, though, apparently in Europe. That guy was into both of
them. Yeah, but for different reasons.
He wanted to bang both of us.
he wanted to be in the
no
middle
preference.
Of a Dan-Jeremy sandwich.
Little guy, get on top guy.
But no, I mean, you know, Jeremy's taller and blonde, and, you know, Dan's shorter and, you know, brunette.
That would be a great threesome, though, like, because, like, usually if you're going to DP someone, you kind of are hoping that, you know, both guys are the same, you know, height to make things a little easier. But, like, when you got one tall guy and a short guy, that girl's have to hopefully do some yoga.
Do you think about having threesomes involving Dan Rosenbaum a lot, Jeremy?
No, but I
he did starting now.
But Spencer and I used to joke about, like, if we ever had a threesome, you know, the two of us would just giggle the entire time, so.
Yeah. Well, then we talked about let's make it less gay and have a foursome, but then we would you know, as we attempt to high five each other, we would just totally like lose our balance, and then the other guy would laugh, and it just
it would be the shortest threesome in the history of mankind.
Because you would be so turned on by seeing Spencer's naked body that you would last like 15 seconds?
Oh, man, that's a lot of hair.
No, like the girl would storm out. The girl would storm out pissed off.
And then, you two would just be naked there next to each other.
We'd be
and
naked on the floor laughing about like the whole incident. We'd just be cracking up. And she's like, are you guys serious? Even after I left the room, we're like, we're sorry. Call us tomorrow. And she wouldn't.
Dude, did you just chiss on my foot? All right. Fuck, man.
Oh, come on, man. There's rules to this. All right, rapid fire dirty talk. My friend Dan in town out here, he says, you got to call and ask me too. Thanks for being a listener. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Dan.
Next up. Thanks, Dan. Next up, Sarah from Team Spencer.
Big fan.
Spencer already locked down a wedding venue? Aggressive.
That is aggressive.
Hey. Although, in fairness, you're getting married in a year.
True. The countdown's on. It's Memorial Day weekend, yeah. Right?
So and Spencer, how's that bank account doing?
Whoa! Is it really a year?
Yeah, it's
oh
yeah.
Boy!
This time next year, we'll be getting ready. We'll be starting to pack for the wedding extravaganza.
But your plus one will not be, to be fair. Whew, okay. Next up, Eric. How does Spencer even know 400 people, 450 people? Probably like business contacts in Corey's entire graduating class. Well, Eric, to be fair, I mean, it is mostly her family. I mean, there's going to be about 20 Yasmins there at most. Todd's a maybe. Lorne, I guess he has to come, so.
I can see the Yasmins all sitting, like, all the way in the back. Like, it's like all Felmans and, like, you got, you know, like, all the Yasmins all the way in the back by the exit sign.
And my mom's just screaming at me. She's like, where do I sit? I'm like, oh, Mom, outside, please, outside. I'll tell you when you can come in, and right now you cannot come in. All right, and the Dirty Talk quote of the week.
Is this the actual quote of the week, or is this one of the ones from like last episode where you say it's the quote of the week, and then actuality, you actually have about another 4 or 5 quotes all directed towards ripping on me.
Oh, boy. Oh, I apologize to our audience for the... One can only imagine how rough the weekly rant's going to be this week because Brian's in a bad mood. Bad mood. But here we go. It is from our very own Brian.
Hey.
Brian says, great news. If you search for Jeremy Katz gay, our blog is the first thing that comes up.
No. I've been outed.
Oh, yes.
Well, and unfortunately for Jeremy, the number two thing was his profile on Grindr.
Oh, man. So what happens if you search Brian Martinson straight? Nowhere.
Actually, Brian Martinson is a fairly common name. There's people who are doing a hell of a lot more with that name than I am. They're like PhDs and other things. So,
you just inspired a new game for me. Thank you. And that is the Dirty Talk quote of the week.
Thank you, Spencer. It irritates me. It upsets me. Seriously, Spencer, go fuck yourself. My voice sounded like shit. Never before have I been so irritated with two people. Don't screw me like that. What's up with your fucking friend about my voice? Would you all shut the fuck up? I don't care. You guys made your bed. Don't let it happen again. Or else you might be part of the weekly rant.
Mayo and ranch are two completely different dressings.
So I go to Subway for lunch, you know, from time to time. It's not a big thing for me, but I enjoy it from time to time. And the one thing that really pisses me off about Subway are these, like, you know, admittedly low-skill, low-pay workers who call themselves sandwich artists who are like the fucking Jackson Pollocks of sandwich artists. They're, like, throwing on mustard and throwing on mayonnaise with, like, haphazard abandon. Like, I don't want some, like, gloppy, gross mess. If I did that, I'd eat a McDonald's.
My own family didn't even vote for me? Father Mordechai, too?
So, LA elected a new mayor last night, Tuesday, and only 188,000 people voted in this city for mayor, which is just ridiculous. What's ridiculous even more than that, though, is the fact that the city insists on having the election 5 months after the last November election. Why the hell are we spending all this extra taxpayer money on a superfluous election that we could easily schedule and hold on the actual election day in November, save a lot more money, get a lot more people involved, and actually have a mayor that represents the entire people?
From one nerd to another, did I ask you to explain the origins of King's Landing to me? No, I didn't.
The thing that really pisses me off, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan, but know what really pisses me off? All these people who have just discovered the magic of reading, who have insisted on reading these books, and insist on telling us while we're watching the show on HBO about how the scene is actually really handled in the book. Guess what? I don't fucking care. If I fucking cared about how this was handled in the book, I'd be reading the book. What you're doing right now is disturbing me and disrupting me from seeing some really hot Robb Stark man-ass. So you need to shut up and let me keep on watching and maybe step into the bedroom after the episode's over.
This is Greg, the voice of the voiceless. I'm coming for you, Brian. You better watch out. It's gonna be real.
Okay, thanks for that promo, Greg. The voice of the voiceless, I guess. But if he's the voice of the voiceless needs a new voice.
Yeah, Brian, that's a really low voice he has there.
It's a really low voice, and it sounded like he was like, it sounded like he had a mop in his mouth or something. It was just all like muffled and like blah blah blah. Like, come on, voice of the voiceless. If you're gonna bring it, if that's what you're gonna bring it with, come on, let's do this. I look forward to it.
Whoa, some harsh words. So this will get interesting. Stay tuned, audience.
We are pleased to have a first-time guest on the podcast now. She's gotten a lot of momentum in the past few episodes. There's been a lot of talk about her. Spencer, how do you pronounce her name?
If the way I was told is correct, it is Sue Me! Sue Me! Sue Me!
Obviously, that's not the correct way to pronounce it because, you know, nobody pronounces it that way other than Spencer. But I do want to welcome Sumi onto the podcast. Everyone, welcome Sumi.
Hey.
Thank you.
And am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
And Spencer is not.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, is that my fault or is it someone else's fault? Because the way I was told, it's Sue and then me.
Yeah, but I think it's not that like a heart of a me. It's Sumi.
Oh, so you're saying I'm shrieking too much. I understand.
You are shrieking too much, which I'm sure you've also heard.
I'll try to tone it down a notch.
So we do welcome you to the podcast. You are known mainly by me as one of Linda Katz, bride and wife now of the senior Katz. You are one of the darker friends of Linda. You are Indian. That is correct.
That is correct.
And you were you're second generation, so your parents were born in India, correct?
Correct.
Now, I've always been very interested in kind of what it's like for girls or for women from certain cultures and how it relates to how they date and what kind of pressures there are from, you know, their parents. Do you experience that kind of expectations game with them? Or do they have certain things that they want you to be looking for, namely another good Indian boy, when you finally settle down?
I mean, ideally, I guess they want me to marry an Indian, but my parents aren't conservative at all. They're pretty liberal. It's the rest of my family, my extended family, that probably wanted me to get married at 19, and half of them didn't even want me to go get my undergrad degree.
Really?
Really,
when
yes.
did they want you to have children by?
Like 21, 22. That's when most of my cousins in India had their children by. So.
Well, I think that's really interesting. So your parents are kind of bucking their brothers and sisters' expectations?
Yes, and it causes a lot of problems in the family.
So the family reunion
is awkward. Yes.
Well, good. I applaud awkward family reunions. Trust me, I have been at many awkward family reunions. I mean, you're being a gay boy in Minneapolis.
Whoa, you're gay?
Yes,
is that what they say?
You're gay? It definitely would have, you know, it raised a few eyebrows back when I still went to family reunions, that is.
Jeremy, couldn't you see at Brian's like get-togethers, like Uncle Tom, Uncle John, or whatever, is like wearing like overalls, and it's just like, that boy's gay. You should sit on my lap.
The grandma just stares at him. He's a little off, that my grandson.
He's a fruit.
So, but going back more to like your dating experience, what kind of guys normally hit on you? Do you kind of get the whole Baskin Robbins variety of guys, or do certain groups tend to hit on you more often?
Usually it's white guys and black guys only. Maybe once in a while I get a Middle Eastern guy and never Indians.
Really?
What about Persian?
Because I don't look Indian. A lot of Indians think I'm Pakistani, and you know that whole situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unless they're looking for a little like hate sex.
Yeah, exactly.
You're probably not going to get hit on by a lot of Indian guys if they think you're Pakistani.
Yeah.
Now, Sumi, what kind of guys are you hitting on? Are you hitting on Indian guys?
No, never. Never have, never, never will. Wow. I've never been a...
And Spencer, and you.
I'm glad you finally asked me that.
It's funny, though. I actually have a female friend of mine who lives in Chicago, a white lawyer, mm-hmm. Who gets hit on by... And is just... Indian guys love her, like, to a ridiculous extent.
Really?
And she loves them back. I mean, it's it's like a match made in heaven.
Well, I've noticed here in Dallas, a lot of my Persian female friends, they're all dating white. They're all dating and married to white dudes. And at the weddings, like, all the Persian guys are just like, they're like so pissed off all the time. Because it's like, it's always like these like nerdy white, like they're like really, I love these white guys. They're like really, you know, like they're nerdy, but they get these hot Persian girls, and they're like, what's up, Muhammad, or whatever, you know. And the Persian guys are just like so pissed off. They're just like, fucking, they grew up, their families all grew up, and that's why the Persian girls just don't like the guys. They're just like, oh, I've known that guy all my life. He's annoying. So,
well, it's also like Persian guys are very. Like, they're very strict, and they're usually mama's boys, and they're usually like, do what my mom says, otherwise, you mm-hmm. know, I'll divorce you. So it's like, I kind of see that too. That's how Indian men are too.
So,
Sumi, why do Persians wear so much cologne?
That is something I am still trying to figure out.
What are you specifically looking for in a guy when you're dating them, or when you're thinking about, you know, going up to them or looking to get into a relationship? What are some of your kind of criteria?
I guess he has to be funny. I like that.
Check.
He has to be smart.
Keep going.
good looking.
Well, that's pretty loose answer.
What else?
I have a guy for you. If you don't mind that he's engaged and looks like a kind of pastier, doughier version of Patrick Dempsey, I have got the guy for you. Spencer, I think you two would be perfect match together.
Take my breath away.
Now, Sumi, going back to the Indian guys, because I know, you know, myself, obviously, being Jewish, I feel like there's always a little bit of pressure for me to end up with a Jewish girl. Now, I know Eric obviously ended up with Linda, and we all love
yes.
Linda. But, you know, I still feel like for me, and I'm sure Spencer felt this as well, there's always that little bit of pressure to marry, you know, your same race or your same religion. So are you telling me there's no pressure at all
or your
on
mother.
Your side that you feel like you need to that you feel like you need to marry an
no
Indian
there's
guy?
Not for my mom and dad directly. I get a lot of pressure, tons of pressure from my aunts and uncles. Like I get, I don't know if you guys have heard, so when Indians try to set up, because most of my cousins have had arranged marriages, my mom and dad are the only two that have had a love marriage, quote unquote, in both sides of my family. So
I'm sure your parents love to hear that I did that their marriage is based on love, in quotes.
Exactly.
But continue.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
And so for them, like since I was 19 or 18, I've been getting what Indians call bio data. So what they do, so it's like a resume of a guy or a girl. And you get, my parents get it like a little bio data Word document, and then they have forwarded it to me. And they're like, well, if you're interested, we can set this up. So, I mean, they don't pressure me, but I think they would probably mm-hmm. be more comfortable if I married an Indian, just for the cultural reason.
Well, here's a question. Are you looking, is marriage something that long-term you want? Or, because not every woman wants to get married.
No, I do want it. Long-term.
Well, then I would say you find the kind of guy that is going to complete you, and don't worry about these old school, old, like, you know, kind of retro constructs that are formulated by other people's cultures. Like, live your own life. That's my advice to you.
Thank you.
But Sumi, after seeing, you know, obviously, you know, and listening to what Spencer's about to go through and has gone through, you still want to get married?
Yes!
Spencer, how's that going?
363 more days to go.
So one question that I am always very curious about is, you know, straight women's gaydar. Like, a lot of women meet me and they are surprised that I'm gay.
Alpha male.
Yeah. Have you ever?
You keep telling yourself that, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I've been actually told that. A good friend, super fan of the podcast, Chelsea, when she first met me and the other guys in the group, thought I was the straight one and everyone else was gay. So, you know, just take that for what it's worth. But have you ever either, you know, been hit on by somebody or gone on a date with somebody that you, like, in hindsight or even maybe at the time of the date, you thought, geez, this guy is really gay and just doesn't know it yet?
Yeah, I actually, I dated a guy last summer. He was my roommate Nancy's really good friend, and I always assumed he was gay. Just not to be, I don't want to be make things uncomfortable, just the way he was, just the way, like, he complimented my clothes and we got along. Like, I just thought he was gay. Like, I just did.
Did he say things were fierce a lot, and did he snap in Z formations?
No.
Okay.
But just something about him, I just assumed he was gay. And then he ended up messaging me on Facebook and asking for my number, and we went out a few times. But there were other things, you know, honestly, like the sex and stuff. I still think he's gay, just the way he was in
bed. The sex wasn't very passionate?
No, not at all, actually. But no, and to this day, I don't know. He's still single, so I have no idea. Nancy doesn't really talk to him anymore. So,
well, if I were still single, I would say, you know, maybe I would meet him and see, you know, on the passion scale where he falls. But, you know,
maybe you guys could have a threesome.
Nope,
and see who he goes to first.
That is just never going to happen. You know, I love Sumi. She and I get along really well. But the idea of seeing any woman naked is going to just send me running for the hills.
That's how this guy feels, too. It's perfect. You'll leave Sumi high and dry.
That's true. I can just sit there and watch.
You can read a book. You've said you want to read more.
Do you enjoy gay porn?
Actually, I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, some women really enjoy gay porn, so when you say that you just sit back and watch, I kind of feel that's the natural question to ask.
Yeah. Now I see why Dustin left the podcast. Continue, though.
But Sumi, you've never asked him post-breakup.
No. I mean, how do you ask that question? What if he's not gay? That's just awkward.
And how would you feel if he came out, though? Is there a little bit, you know, is your pride hurt a little bit if you ended up dating a guy who turned out to be
gay?
No,
I'd actually be happy that he actually asked me out.
That's very sweet of you.
He thought that she could be the one to turn him straight.
Exactly.
And I
instead,
by the way,
she sent him further down the hole.
And we do not want to know what hole he's going down.
Hey.
Now, no interview on our podcast is complete, man or woman, gay or straight, unless they have a big penis story. And I understand from reliable sources, thank you, Linda, that you have a really good big penis story.
Yes, I do.
I'm literally on the, like, edge of my seat. I need to hear this story.
Spencer, get the popcorn.
So I guess it happened it was actually like the week before I moved to LA to go back to school. And there was this guy that I was seeing. You know, we were dating, but nothing serious because I knew I was going to move here. And I really, you know, didn't want to do a long distance thing. And we had never had sex until like the week before. We had been seeing each other. I don't know what it was. I just had this feeling something was going to go wrong. So we just kind of kept, you know, doing other stuff. And we tried having sex maybe 4 or 5 times. And he wasn't big. He was just... he was very girthy.
Now, if we compare his girth to common household objects, what would you compare it to?
Probably one of those economically friendly.
A kosher dill.
No, bigger than that for sure.
Oh.
Probably like a water bottle, like one of those reusable water bottles.
Oh, wow.
No, it was huge.
A reusable water bottle? That's really? That's...
yeah. Because I'm looking at one right now. It's probably a little bit smaller than that.
A dick or a water bottle?
The dick.
The water bottle is a little smaller.
But not overly long, just really kind of more beer can-esque?
Yeah, I mean, he was average, like, probably 5 to 6 inches.
Oh, below average, actually, then.
I'm pretty sure that's average, but...
Oh.
Okay.
I heard that's huge.
Yeah, so it was just, I wasn't expecting that. And so we tried...
A few people are, to be perfectly honest.
We tried a few times, and it didn't work. Like, I couldn't do it. And so we ended up, like, literally 2 nights before I was moving to L.A., we ended up doing it, and I ended up screaming out, and he had to take me to the ER.
Wow. I was going to say, when you can't get it done, that's just quitter talk. But when you actually have to go to the ER because the person you're sleeping with has split you wide open, I think you get the Big Penis Story Award of the Year.
Yes.
Now, Sumi, did he finish, or was it, like, literally once he stuck that thick cock of his in you?
No, he finished. I, of course, did not.
A gentleman.
Did he?
Team player.
Wait, did he carry you to the hospital with his dick still inside of you?
No.
Like, could you get it out?
Did romantic music play as he carried you over the threshold into the emergency room? Like, doctor, get her to the ER, stat!
No.
So what do you tell the doctor in that situation?
I told him the truth. I mean, actually, he told him the truth because I was in too much pain to even talk.
Well, did the doctor high-five him?
No, the doctor was like, well, at least you're ready for childbirth.
Oh, that's a silver lining.
Yeah. But yeah, that was it. I had a few stitches, went on, moved away, and that was it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well.
And did you see him since?
He texts me a lot. Actually, still text me every couple months. But no, I haven't.
How's the vag?
I haven't seen him since. I mean, he paid for the medical bills and I was out of there. We're done.
Well, that was actually nice of him. That is a gentleman to pay for the medical bills.
Unfortunately, insurance doesn't cover the
recreational sexual injury.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, trying to get that claimed.
All right.
I'm trying to think if that was me in that situation.
Well, that's not a problem for you, Jeremy.
Well, exactly. Would you be embarrassed, or would you be kind of like, yeah, all right, it's kind of impressive?
I think most, like, guys, if they actually injured a woman with their penis, would be kind of like, yeah, honey, I'm really sorry. I mean, they would be genuinely sorry, but, like, when they're telling the doctors, like, yeah, my massive penis just split her wide open. What can I say?
I could see that, like, the penis is, like, the minute you put a condom on, it just bursts open.
He wasn't embarrassed, though. Like, I don't think he was embarrassed at all.
That's good.
I think he...
Well, he should be a little embarrassed.
I mean, he was embarrassed about the situation, obviously going to the ER and waiting in the room while I got stitches, but I don't think he was embarrassed in general, because the way he still contacts me, I don't think he was. I think he's, like, ready for round two.
Does he live in Dallas? Does he live in Dallas? Spencer, give him a call.
Hi. I heard.
All right. Assuming we do the last tradition for any person on the podcast who comes out into interview is we do ask if there's something that you want to plug. So, do you have anything that you want to plug? Any projects coming up? Any promotions? Anything that you have a book signing coming out?
Any surgical procedures?
Oh God.
No, not really. I mean, we had our first Jewish mayor elected last week. That's kind of relevant to your
exciting
podcast.
News. Yeah.
That is. And it was also covered in the weekly rant. So.
Do you not like Eric Garcetti?
No. Oh, my issue with... Listen to the podcast. Of course you'll listen to the podcast because you're on it now. But listen to the weekly rant. It has nothing to do with who got elected. It was about something completely different.
Okay. But that's it. I don't have, like, a book signing or any surgical procedures coming up.
Well, you hang in there, kid. Things will turn around.
We do thank you for coming on the podcast. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, sue me.
Shoot me!
And now, a Two Jews and a Gay original production. From... The Vault. Each week, one movie previewed, its lead actor analyzed with heavy action and groundbreaking drama, out of this world science fiction, hilarious comedy, and spicy romance. Now, sit back, relax, and grab some popcorn for Installment 3.0 Franchise Edition. Fast and Furious 6 and Hangover 3, starring the likes of Vin Diesel, Zach Galifianakis, Paul Walker, Ken Jeong, Michelle Rodriguez, Ed Helms, Jordana Brewster. I'm sorry, I can't do this anymore. Basically, it stars The Rock and Bradley Cooper and a whole lot of people who really need to keep their respective franchises alive. Or else, it's back to El Segundo. Boys, take it away.
It's Memorial Day weekend, and that means it's the now, like, big blockbuster movies are being released. And this week, it is Fast and Furious 6 and The Hangover Part 3. One, I'm actually somewhat excited to see and anticipating. The other, I can't believe they actually made another one of them. And it's probably not the ones you think. I am really not looking forward to seeing The Hangover Part 3. I think it's just limping towards finale. But Fast and Furious 6, you know, sign me up. I think I'm looking forward to it.
Spencer, really? I am very surprised to hear that, Brian. Fast and Furious 6 is what you're looking forward to.
Out of those two,
yeah, but have you seen all six?
I don't think you've seen any of them.
You haven't seen any of them?
What was the last one you seen? Yeah.
I saw Fast and Furious 5.
Tokyo Drift? Tokyo Drift doesn't count.
I did not see Tokyo Drift.
Well, this is
I made the mistake of seeing The Hangover Part 2, and that was just a movie devoid of an original idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna step in here for a second. I gotta be honest. I did not think The Hangover 2 was that bad. I mean, I didn't see it in the theater.
Well, you waited until it was on FX?
Exactly. No, I actually saw it when it premiered on HBO last summer. And, you know, I had heard all these, how bad it was and everything. So I kind of went in expecting that, especially from the previews. I didn't think it looked that good. Then I saw it and I was like, you know, there was definitely some things that were kind of like copied off the original format. But then I thought at the same time, like, there were some original jokes in there that, like, if I see it on HBO again, like, I still kind of laugh when I see certain moments in that movie. So I was actually surprised because the expectations maybe were so low that it wasn't that bad, I thought.
Well, here's the thing with Hangover 2.
Jeremy, your thoughts.
Spencer, you're right. And anyone that says it was horrible, it wasn't horrible. It was funny. It just wasn't as good as the first one, and it was the exact same movie. I think the problem that guys at The Hangover made was, look at Police Academy, okay? Now, the first Police Academy was nothing like Hangover 1, but the reason you can make 5 or 6, even same thing with National Lampoon's Vacation, is because you're taking these characters that people love, but you're putting it in different circumstances. So National Lampoon's Vacation has same characters as National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I can't believe I'm making this argument, by the way. But basically, it's the same characters that you
love. I'm taking notes.
But it's a little bit, it's a different of a movie. The Hangover 2 is the exact same movie, beat for beat. But it's still funny characters. There's still funny things that happen. So when people say it was really bad, it wasn't really bad. Let's be honest, Brian. But
well, my real objection to this is some laughable idea that they had this grand vision for a trilogy. Like, no, they didn't. They were pleasantly surprised that the first Hangover made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So they did what everyone does when the first movie makes a lot of money, is they made a second movie, and they basically, in those kinds of comedies, they follow the exact same plot, just like they did, and they just sit back and go, let's see the money roll in. Mm-hmm. And the money rolls in, generally. But to kind of come back and say, oh yeah, we had this vision for a trilogy, and this is our whole idea to have this three-part movie storyline.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes, that's what they're saying. It's the epic conclusion of a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. They don't have a fucking clue what they're doing. They're throwing whatever they can onto the screen and seeing what can make people laugh. And I get no buzz for this movie whatsoever.
I definitely think they should have waited. I think it would be funny if, like, and I mean, let's be honest here. When these actors are down and out, like, I don't see Ed Helms having a long-term starring role as much as he may think he's going to. I don't see it happening. I mean, they've already scratched the idea of the next Griswolds movie that he was supposed to be in, I think I read. So it's already off to a banging start for him after The Office ended. But I just could see them doing a fourth one 10 years from now. But honestly, I think that would be the best thing is 10 years from now they all have kids, and it's just kind of like it's a different take on it than what they're doing, trying to spit them out every 2 years. So my expectations for this one aren't as high, especially since they're going back to Vegas. I think that's probably an issue too, is like even the previews where you see Chang like flying through the air, it's like that's stupid. Like you're taking a situation that was like it had some realism to it, and now you're just making it like preposterous, everything they're about to go through.
Well, it's good you bring that up, Spencer, because the problem with the Hangover franchise, it's not Ed Helms, it's not Cooper or Galifianakis. To be honest, the problem is Chow. The reason why he works so great in the first one is that
Chow,
is that he was fresh.
Another racist thing by
me. He was fresh, and he was in it for a very small part. What I've heard about the third one is that he has a bigger role, which to me turns me off, because honestly, he's a one-note character. He's funny in small doses. So I think
you hate Asians.
Well, come on now. But the fact that he's going to be featured more in the third one, to me, is kind of a cheap laughs. I will say about the Fast and the Furious franchise, when I watch that trailer, yes, it looks entertaining. Yes, it looks like it's mindless entertainment. But the CGI looks so bad. Spencer, don't you agree? These explosions look so fake.
And what is the deal with every time whoever their nemesis is in the previous movie, he just joins the gang? So now it's like The Rock's now part of the gang. Like, when is it going to end? When is it going to be that they have 40 good guys versus one bad guy, and then they don't need the cars anymore? They're like, how about the 40 of us just go beat up that guy? I mean, it seems like that's where they're headed towards. Like, it always has to end with them all being buddies at the end, and let's go find a cop gone bad. Let's go find someone to rob. I mean, yeah, I agree, Jeremy. The CGI looks bad, but even just like I can't imagine them spitting together 2 hours worth of. I mean, we know the stories are not good, and I gotta be honest, I actually liked the first one. I thought the first one was good, and that might be the only one I saw all the way through. And I don't think the first one was like good as in like wow, this was like great storytelling. But I thought it was like something, you know, I'd never seen a movie on cars such in that angle before. I thought it was entertaining, but then you have to understand, you're also dealing with a horrible actor in Paul Walker, who, like, I don't think for a second is an undercover cop. I don't believe it for a second. And Vin Diesel, I mean, how many takes does the guy have to do to get the words out? I mean, his marbles in
and
his
this
mouth.
Weekend,
so, really?
Yeah, no, I was going to say, Spencer, this weekend actually is making history, not because it's the first weekend that's going to release a part 6 and a part 3, but because this is the first weekend in forever that two $200 million franchises and above, I mean, both Hangover and Fast Furious make a ton of money. Are opening the same weekend. In fact, I've got insiders on Warner Brothers and Universal who are both worried because these movies are going after the same audience. Fast and Furious will open up more than Hangover because it's PG-13 versus R. But, Brian, it's pretty crazy that these two movies, these two monster franchises are opening the exact same weekend.
I agree. I also think that all things being equal, Fast and the Furious 6 will probably have a better long weekend than The Hangover, as for the reasons you suggested with
PG-13.
With PG-13. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, the Fast and the Furious franchise recently has actually kind of been a bit more put together than The Hangover. Like, they actually have had some idea of how they wanted this storyline to proceed.
Shockingly, it feels more fresh.
It does. Yeah. So I think people will reward that, and I think more people are going to go see Fast and Furious 6.
Do you think that The Rock is on board through 9 of these? I mean, obviously The Rock has become. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys think The Rock's become like the shoulder for this movie to lean on going forward? I haven't seen enough of them to know. Like, I know The Rock was his first one he was in, but do you think it's going to become more of The Rock's baby going forward, because he's the bigger star at this point?
I think
Vin Diesel and Paul
Walker.
I think
he actually brings in a younger crowd, because Vin Diesel, for like 11 to 13 year olds, I mean, they don't really remember Vin Diesel outside of these movies. I mean, again, Vin Diesel's not a big star, but you and I
don't want to remember
him. We were
him,
in high school,
but I have
we were
to.
Seeing a lot of his movies back when he was headlining multiple action movies. So I think The Rock actually is the bigger star because obviously he's in more movies, but I think The Rock's appeal to this franchise is the fact that he does bring, I think, younger audience. And I never thought I would say that Vin Diesel brings an old audience, but
that's I will also say there. This.
Yeah.
I think people are overlooking one issue with the Fast and Furious 6, and that's Paul Walker. I know no one thinks he's a phenomenal actor, but women think he's hot.
Correct.
Women love Paul Walker. They love looking at Paul Walker. And it's going to be a lot easier for boyfriends to get their girlfriends to go see Fast and Furious 6 when they have dreamy Paul Walker to look at for 2 hours.
He's become. Don't you think he's become an afterthought, though, in these movies? I mean, I'm sure he's going to have a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
But it used to be Paul Walker, Vin Diesel in these movies. And, like, you look at the previews, there's just not a lot. He's not talking a lot in the movies. Like,
yeah,
I feel
but does
like
anyone
want to
hear
like what happened with the...
All they really want to do is, you know, see those baby blues.
Now, Brian,
this isn't the best example.
Yeah, go ahead, Spencer.
But I was just going to say, this isn't the best example, but you remember like the American Pie mm-hmm. movies, the original one? I got the impression that the original American Pie was the main characters were supposed to be Jason Biggs and Tom Ian Nichols. And then they slowly like drifted away from the Tom Ian Nichols character where when it got to like the third one, he was just in it because he had a contract that said like he's signed on for all three, but he had like two lines in it. And, I mean, obviously it's not the same type of movie, but I feel like that might be what happened, could be happening to Paul Walker, where like they still want him for like the eye candy, but like they don't trust him to read off like a five sentence key moment in the movie.
That's true. And then
you
Brian,
well, may right. You very well may be right.
Brian, who puts your ass in the seat, Paul Walker or Bradley Cooper?
That's a good question. I mean, I like Bradley Cooper more as both an actor and just physically, he's more attractive to me. But like, don't get me wrong. Like, if Paul Walker came up to my doorstep, you know, 6 months ago, before I've been involved in a relationship, you know, 6 months ago he came to my door naked, I would have quickly ushered him into my room.
Okay, let's say now tomorrow he comes to your room naked. What happens?
I call Mr. Millennium, and I say, this is a sign that we're doing really, really well because Paul Walker came to my room naked, and I escorted him out.
Spencer, my heart is very warm right now.
Heart's pounding. Won't stop pounding.
Well,
need some water!
Well, now that we're talking about the cast of The Hangover, I got to ask you guys about Zach Galifianakis. You know, after the first Hangover, he was the hottest comedian in town, but none of his movies post-Hangover have really had success. Is he a one-note actor?
Yes.
I think, yeah, I agree. And I think also, I wouldn't be surprised if you see a spinoff with his character in future
movies. I'll say it ain't so.
Like 2 to 3 years. I would hate to say that, but like, I think he's got no more. I don't think he has a market to appeal as like the guy. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being like a character. What is that? How do you say the word? I guess I'm trying to think. But like a situational character in a movie, there's nothing wrong with that. You, not everyone can star in a movie. That's my whole thought about Ed Helms. I don't see Ed Helms as like a star of a movie, but I think Galifianakis is gonna lose credibility fast if he doesn't reinvent the wheel. You know, he's gonna have to think of something. I could see him like if they ever want to do like a Police Academy reboot, maybe something like that would be good for him. Like as like Bobcat Goldthwait, if I can't even say that. But yeah, like he needs to reinvent himself because he can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know, there's a movie that I remember him in. He was in it for literally 60 seconds, and I thought it was pretty good. Like, that was a memorable scene in the movie. It was that Up in the Air movie with George Clooney. He was literally in it for 60 seconds where it was like he gets fired, and then you see him like how he's planning his head to like snipe everybody. And like, I mean, it's like a serious, intense thing, but it was kind of like funny to see this like goofy guy like getting all dressed mm-hmm. up in like armor and everything. You know, it's like he can have his moments, but he's got to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah, my advice to him would be to do a complete 180 from this type of role. I'd almost actually suggest that he take some small bit role in some sort of drama and actually demonstrate that he has some acting ability, and we'll find out if he has some acting ability in that kind of role, as opposed to just being the Zach Galifianakis character, because that is a really quick way to get pigeonholed and a very quick path to the unemployment line in Hollywood.
I got a question for you guys. What about the other guy in The Hangover. Has he been screwed over enough in these movies?
Oh, the guy.
You mean the husband?
Doug.
Yeah. The one that was like the guy who was married in Hangover 2 and the bachelor party for the first Hangover.
I think the best publicity I've seen him get was for the second one. He had to go on Mike and Mike, and like Mike and Mike was like so excited to have him on. We're like, we got someone from The Hangover. It's Doug. Like,
oh. This is a total aside. Wasn't he the guy in The New Normal, like the one of the gay guys in The New Normal?
Oh, you are correct, sir. And that show just got canceled.
It did just get canceled. He really can't catch a break. All right. Well, I think that wraps up the movie conversation for this week. Stay tuned for our next episode where we discuss. Spencer, what movie are we discussing next time?
I don't know. Where are we at? Superman?
Let's say Superman.
Let the audience vote for it. What do they want us to talk about?
Superman.
Peoples? Tyler Perry's Peoples?
This is Eric Katz.
Brian's promise to break his heterosexual charity. You have guaranteed to deliver the big O.
The only thing I enjoy more than taking my regularly scheduled dump is listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
It is now time for everyone's favorite segment, Dirty Talk Hollywood with Jeremy Katz. Jeremy, take it away.
First headline. Boys, it's been a while since there has been a quality football movie. Well, Hollywood hopes to change this with the upcoming flick, Draft Day. The movie stars Dennis Leary, another Spencer favorite, as the new coach of the Cleveland Browns, who is at odds with the GM of the team, played by Kevin Costner. The flick is going to be directed by Ivan Reitman, and will heavily focus on the NFL draft process. Boys, are you excited for this one?
Well, here's my question. Would you rather have Dennis Leary and Kevin Costner running the Cleveland Browns, or who they currently have running the Cleveland Browns?
Definitely Dennis Leary.
Is it supposed to be a comedy or like a real-life movie?
It's going to be like a drama.
Is it going to be like Any Given Sunday?
I think having Dennis Leary... Well, that's the thing. I think it's not going to be as extreme and R-rated as Any Given Sunday. I think it's going to be more comedic with Dennis Leary, but like basically they're trying to do like a real
like
perspective of what an NFL camp is like.
I mean, it really comes down to, is it going to be more like The Replacements or is it going to be more like Any Given Sunday? Both movies I liked, but you need the right characters. Like Gene Hackman has the right, you know, the right kind of sarcasm as a head coach, but still enough seriousness. And then you have the other end of it with Al Pacino, where it's like he gives these 30-minute motivational speeches in the movie in Any Given Sunday. So I don't really see Dennis Leary as a football coach. I know his background is more – he's Canadian, so he's more of the hockey-type guy. I don't know how it's going to translate. Kevin Costner's the kind of guy that can turn it on in some movies, but I don't know.
Others not so much.
Waterworld.
Well, Spencer, I'm curious to get your opinion on this because I know obviously you're a big movie and football guy. How come there isn't the NFL version of Hoosiers or the NFL version of The Natural or Bull Durham? Like, why hasn't there been that classic football movie yet?
Well, I think, you know, Any Given Sunday could be argued was at least
very good, but I don't think that's considered like a classic.
What about Air Bud, Golden Retriever?
Well said. Good point.
I just think it's tough with football. I think there's been a lot of football movies. So you make that, you claim there hasn't been, but, you know, talk to the people that did that Remember the Titans movie, right?
Or Brian's Song,
or that movie about the football player that died, you know, from Syracuse. Remember it came out, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know.
It came out like, it was a Disney movie,
Rudy?
But it was...
Or Rudy. I mean,
Rudy is a classic.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Jeremy, come on. I think I reject
the... I was waiting for Spencer to say The Blind Side.
Well, you know, Sandra Bullock did win an Oscar for that.
Spencer, did it move?
Did not move today, did not move yesterday, will not be moving in the future.
Although I do want to say, Sandra, I feel horrible for her because Jesse James, after she had that huge height, like winning the Oscar, literally like 3 days later, the shit just hits the fan and everyone finds out that he's like sleeping with that Kat Von D, the tattooed hooker.
Well, before that, he was sleeping with Michelle Bombshell McGee, who was took photos of him and her in Nazi attire. So
hail.
Didn't he?
All right, guys.
He also had kids with a porn star, didn't he?
He's
and she's shocked.
Yeah, I mean, shame on you, Sandra Bullock.
Shame on
exactly.
you.
Are they making
talk about not protecting the blind side.
Are they making Speed 3 anytime soon?
All right, boys, next headline. Now, here's an odd Hollywood feud. Justin Bieber and former New York Jets player Keyshawn Johnson.
Give me the damn ball.
You literally beat Spencer to the punch with that one. All right, guys. Apparently, Keyshawn had just left a party Sunday night when Bieber zoomed by in his Ferrari at insane speed. We're told Keyshawn was furious, feeling Justin could have killed someone. So he brought his kid home, then chased after the singer in his Prius.
Prius. Really? He chased after someone in a Ferrari with a Prius?
Apparently, he kept up with him. Now, when Keyshawn got to Bieber's pad, he blocked Justin's Ferrari in the driveway and got out of the car to confront Justin face-to-face. But, unfortunately for Keyshawn, Justin ran inside of the house and refused to come out. Guys, how do you feel about this story?
There's so many holes in this story. Was Keyshawn at a... was he at a party? I don't understand. He was at a party with his son?
That's the first hole. Okay. Detective.
So he's at a party with his son. He somehow...
very fishy.
This happens with Bieber. He somehow drives back home, drops his son off, and yes. is able to find where Bieber is driving down the highway. Is it so, like, did he have, like, a helicopter that knew where he was at? I don't understand. This story just makes no sense.
No, but he had a Prius.
So the Prius is like Knight Rider.
Where are you reading this story from?
The Knight Rider tells him where...
Hey, I got my sources.
A story like this has got to be true.
Gotta be true. And Brian, how do you feel being a fellow Prius owner?
Well, I know the limitations of a Prius. There's no way it has the... Unless he got, like, the option package that can split and bend space-time, there's no way he's able to drop his kid off, find where Justin Bieber lives, catch up to him, and then block him in with the Prius. It's just... There's something fishy about that.
Why is his kid at a party with him, though? I don't understand. Why is Bieber at the same party?
Makes no sense.
How old is Keyshawn's kid? Like 4?
Yeah, I don't know. None of, you guys are not buying this story
not,
one bit.
Not one bit.
It was a slow day in Hollywood.
You made up the story?
Of course not. All right, we're moving on. And for our final headline, we end with a sign-off. Boys, Bill Hader will be exiting SNL this season, as most of you know. In my opinion, Hader will go down as one of the all-time great SNL cast members, and I cannot wait to see what he does next.
Well, hopefully it won't be following the footsteps of Jim Brewer.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. Basically, a lot of these actors just or these comedians just fall off the face of the planet after they leave Saturday Night Live.
But you guys have faith in Hader, don't you?
No, not really.
Spence?
I like him in, you know, he's been really good in the Seth Rogen movies in that type of role as a you know, as a side actor. So, and also even in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he was really good with Jason Segel. So I think he's got a career ahead of him.
But I also think, remember, he works a lot with the South Park guys and does helps them write some of these episodes.
He does, yes.
So, you know, he may not have a big career in front of the camera, but he may have a really big career behind it.
I'm optimistic for the kid.
Boys, that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you, Jeremy. It is now time to wrap up the episode. We do thank Sumi for joining us once again. And Spencer, before we leave, just want to point out, a year from now, you will be married.
Oh, it really is a year. Okay, let's do this.
We're looking forward to it. So, for Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.
The latest. Intro, Dirty Talk, Weekly Rant, Promo 1. Who are we promoing?
We can do the Eric one again, and then I guess we can repurpose.
Here's the problem. We need more fucking promos. The problem, we're regurgitating all these damn promos, so it just...
I'll reach out.
And Spencer, what is going on here, man? Come on.
What?
We got 5 people for promos.
And nobody's reached out to them. Promos are not my department, all right. Gentlemen.
I'll talk to them.
So, yeah, I'm just... If I hear Nick with that extreme blowjob one more time...
Did it really even happen?
Did it not happen?
No, it happened. I mean, it's really not that extreme. It's just a girl putting her legs over some of your shoulders.
Well, I mean, it's fairly extreme. I mean, if you're not used to it.
Yes.
I mean, mean, it's better than Dan's porn star blowjob where he's just standing up. That's your version of a porn star blowjob. But according to Dan, he got a porn star blowjob. So Eric's like, well, what's a porn star blowjob? And Dan says, oh, I was just standing up.
Look at that every day. Come on now.
Now that's also a Duty Talk quote.